I'm glad everyone's here. I hope you're glad that you're here. It's been a while since I've been able to speak to you guys here, so I do find this as a privilege and a blessing that I get to be here with y'all. Woohoo! So I just want to share a little bit. Last week, my wife and I, we went to Dallas, Texas. For those of you unfamiliar with U.S. geography, that is a state. It is maybe like 2.5 hour flight from here. It was actually very cold, much to my surprise. But we were just, you know, hanging out there, just a quick vacay. We stayed with a friend. We visited a church. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Bishop T.D. Jakes. Yeah, maybe. Potter's House. It's a church. It's actually an African-American church, so a little bit different than our church. If you saw earlier in one of the retreat videos, you saw Pastor Jules. He was there 2 years ago. He was like an African-American pastor, and he was preaching to us. So he was the only African-American and all Asians. That's how I fell over there. I was the only Asian, which is reversed. I was the only Asian, and it was just African-American people. So it was very, very cool. But I love visiting different churches sometimes just to kind of see how it is. And you get a different culture, you get a different vibe. I mean, when they're there, the preaching is like, you know, very... the music, you know, man, vocals were just like mind blowing. But it's interesting when he preaches, they're very energetic. They like to get up. Like I'm preaching, and then somebody will come up right here and just be like, "Yeah, you preach it, Pastor." And he's just going, and I'm sitting next to the guy, and I'm just like, "Oh, that's normal. That's what you're supposed to do." It was a little intimidating for me because I mean, one, we were visiting, so they sat us in the very front row. This is a church of like 10,000 people. It's like broadcasted live, and they got like a camera crew rolling and everything. And then we were like right in front, and then he's like right there, and he's like right in front of us. So it was a little interesting when we were worshiping. They had camera people. Apparently, there's a camera guy like right in my face, shooting me, and then I was on the big screen. My buddy's like, "Hey, dude, just keep worshiping. You're on the big screen." I'm like, I didn't notice him, but he told me after, like, he's like, "Just keep going." I'm like, "Oh, you're okay." I'm pretty sure I was there for diversity because, you know, they show like, we are not solely an African-American church. We are a multi-ethnic church. And the guy who brought us up front, he was like, "Look what I caught, y'all." And he was like, "I got someone different." Because to be fair, I was different and my wife and I were different. So it was fun. It was good. Their service, you know, believe it or not, was like 2.5 hours, 3 hours. The sermon itself was like 2 hours plus. So I'm going to take notice from him, and I'm going to do the exact same thing. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing 2 hours, guys. Don't worry. But it was good. It was very cool. It was very cool. Very different. But I am glad to be home. Yeah? Aren't you glad that you're home here? This is home, and I'm glad that I'm here with you today, and I'm glad that we are one family. We are home. I look around, and I see people that I recognize. I see the same color a little bit. It's a funny story. We were walking out of the bathroom. This is not racist at all, okay? I promise. We went together and walking out of the bathroom, and then I'm in the lobby. This lobby is huge, and I'm just like, "Oh, where's my friend?" Because they all, like, I mean, you know, like they're all of the same race. So I'm just looking, and I'm like, "Dang, I can't find him." And he's like, "Josh." I'm like, "Oh, thank you. You found me." So I went over to him after that because it's easier for him to spot me than for me to spot him. I'm just being real. You know, I'm like the one non-brother over there, and you can see me a mile away. But him, I was just like, I have no idea where he is. But it's just fun. I just wanted to share with you where I've been and what I was doing and that my wife appreciates. Because I asked her yesterday, do I still speak too quickly when I'm sharing? I know I have a tendency to speak very quickly because it's genetic. If you ever hear my mom speak, she'll like bust through words like that very quickly. But she's like, "You know what? I understand you. But like last week, man, when they started preaching and like really getting into it, his voice picks up really, really quickly. And he's just shouting and everyone's shouting. And you're just like, I have no idea what he said." So, you know, be thankful that you can understand me now. And I do try to speak slowly and enunciate my words. So isn't God great? Yes, he is. Amen. So if you don't know, the topic of the month, if this is your first time, which we got 5 of y'all, welcome. But the topic of the month, we're in the theme of love. Love. Love is in the air. But this week, we want to focus a little bit more on loving yourself. Loving yourself. When was the last time you guys woke up in the morning and you were like, you looked in the mirror and you're like, thank you, Jesus, for this good-looking person looking back at you. When was the last time you guys did that? Was that this morning? Was that last week? I mean, I do that every... No, I really don't. I'm just kidding. But when was the last time really you really looked in the mirror and you were thankful for who God created you to be? God created me like this. Ooh, good-looking guy, six-pack, guns of steel. Like, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, yes. But really, who does that? Who has done that recently? Who has done, like, thank you, God, for my shortcomings, right? No one's perfect. Everyone falls short somewhere. When was the last time we did that? Thank you, God, for the personality you gave me, for the intellect you've blessed me with, for who I'm able to connect with. I don't think, at least for me, that's not something I usually wake up with every morning. I don't tend to think that way as much. Now, what I find sometimes easier is who gets hung up on, like, dang, I messed up. I fell short. Failed that class, failed that test. Oh, I'm not smart enough. I wish I had that guy's brain. I wish I had her brain. I wish I looked as good as Chris Hemsworth does in Thor. Like, who does that more often, right? You tend to love things less about yourself and wish you were someone else more than appreciating what God has given you more. Isn't that right? It's easier to look at, wow, David, his house is huge. My house is like a quarter of that. In Texas, man, those houses, oh, they're like mansions. Like mansions. It was like a 4,000 square foot house. Wow. And like the ceilings were like three times as high. The couch was like five times as big. And it cost like a quarter of what a condo here costs. It was like mind-blowing. But you get in this mindset like, I wish I had what they had. You begin to want more and you begin to think less of yourself to a certain degree because of this constant comparison. It becomes even easier today. Who here has social media? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Vine? No, Vine's not a thing. TikTok, Snapchat. I don't know. I can't keep up anymore. In my age, TikTok was a song. But you know, like I'm telling you my age now. Okay. But right in today's world, in social media, it's very, very easy. You open like, and then you see the glorious sides of people's lives. And what happens is now you're comparing, you're looking like, oh, I don't have that. They're on vacation right now, but my life's not good. I'm selling myself short. Like, oh, I don't have as good a job, but you begin to see things through a covered rose-colored lens, which really isn't good. And as we start doing that, Cassius, as we start doing that, we sell ourselves short. We sell God short. We make it easier not to love who we are, and we make it easier to not love who God has made us to be, who God has set us apart as, and who God has made us to be. Oh, you're going to click for me? Cool. 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him, that we are children of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. God created us. We are children. We are a child. All of us here, we are children of God. Now, I share today, right? So we're talking about loving ourselves. The question is, what is self-love? What is self-love? We're going to be talking about self-love, and you know, we're going to tie it into this month of love. Pastor Sugi introduced us in how we love, how God loves us, and how that love goes outward. And he touched briefly, I believe, about self-love. But I really wanted to dig in a little bit more today and focus on us, on you, on me. This is cool. We're going to talk about how to love ourselves. Because I don't think we talk about this enough in the church. And sometimes it's easy for us to not look at this. Now, first things first, when you hear like, oh, self-love, what comes to your mind? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it like, ooh, egotistical? I love myself. Ooh, yeah. Well, what's the first thing that hits your mind? Is it the idea of like, oh, yeah, everything's all about me. Everything is good. Yeah, I think in today's world, sometimes, right, the idea of self-love is maybe it isn't, is it's selfish. It's loving myself. But in fact, we are called to love ourselves. In the Bible, if you read the Bible in Matthew, it says to love your neighbor as yourself. In Ephesians, it says it calls husbands to love their wife as themselves. There's multiple examples, but the Bible specifically states that we need to love ourselves. So I want to make a distinction here between, this is getting a little tricky here, but between loving yourself and being in love with yourself. It's a little bit confusing. You're like, well, you told me to love myself, but I can't be in love with myself. I'm trying to draw a line. I'm trying to clear the line up, but I want us to be in love with who God made us to be. Because God made us, and we should love ourselves because of that. I'm trying to draw a line between loving yourself and being in love with yourself. I think, if I could clarify, being in love with yourself, I see that maybe more as self-worship. AKA, you're worshiping yourself, you love yourself, and you're worshiping yourself, you're placing yourself up there. Looks like everything revolves around me, 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 maybe you, back to me, maybe. It's being prideful, it's being arrogant, it's being stuck up, it's thinking about my needs, only my needs, above everyone else's needs, and I'm so better than them because of, you can fill in your blank in here, I'm better than Johnny over there because of blah. The world has a very particular view of this form of self-love, in my opinion. It's thinking that you can do no wrong, that everything you do is to meet whatever need, whatever inclination of something you want, you just do it. That's it. It's just me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't take care of our needs and we shouldn't fulfill the things that we want to an extent. But I believe there is an acceptable line of what is and what isn't. There is a danger zone when I believe that when we become the center of everything else and we push everyone down way below us, that's when the danger zone exists right there. We don't want this form of self-love. We don't want this form of self-love to become self-focus, making a god of ourselves or placing our desires above everyone else's. We don't want to indulge in our sinful natures or dismiss other people. Titus 3:3, if you're taking notes, for we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Indulging in these things is what the world has deemed as self-love at times. Just do whatever makes you happy. There is no consequence for giving in to whatever desires come over you at any time. And I don't believe that's how God entitles self-love. Right? That's what I told you, right? You think you're here, and then you put everyone else down here. There's also the opposite, right? Where you put everyone here, and you're all the way down here. I don't think that's how God details it, right? It says, love your neighbor as yourself. A healthy understanding of this is you don't want people to be stepping over. You don't want to put everyone ahead of yourself where you just become to a point where you get worn out and you begin to not love yourself anymore. It's a healthy balance of loving your neighbor as yourself. It's like this. It's not like this. It's not like this. It's right here. If you're going to listen to this later, I have hand motions, and I'm detailing equal. I'm not, because we record it, just got to say. But we are to love as we love ourselves. So we looked at it from the not good point of view, right? We looked at it how the world points of view. It's about me. It's prideful. It's arrogant. It's selfish. You're stuck up. But now, what does it look like when we look at it from a godly self-love? What does the Bible have to say about this? Oh, he clicked it. Okay, great. Well, godly self-love is liking who God created you to be and projecting that onto others. It is not prideful, nor is it self-condemning to the point where you have prideful humility. It is being grateful for how God made you, for how God made you as a beautiful, unique person that he is using to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. I like to see it as the biblical point of view of self-love is based in humility and thankfulness. Thankful for who he created me to be, but being in humility and not thinking that I'm better than anyone else, not thinking that I have it more, but not thinking that I'm less than anyone else either. It's this delicate balance again, right? Philippians 2:4 says, Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I know some people who do it where they just put everyone ahead of themselves, and they just get burned out. They get drawn down, and they get destroyed because everyone else is here, and they're down there. And I don't think that's what God calls us to do either. That he calls for a healthy understanding of loving ourselves, but loving others first as well. But you get this? I know it's a little bit hard to wrap your mind around, but equal love. It is important to love who God made me to be. Let that sink in. It is important to love who God made me to be. I don't think we say this enough. A lot of it is because, you know, we love who God made you. I love how God made you. I love how God made you. But we don't stop and understand that God made us who we are, unique and beautiful, with our own characteristics, with our own personalities, with our own design. And we have to love that. Tell your neighbor, I am me and you are you. Now I am thankful for how God made me. Say that. I am thankful for how God made me. Yeah, right? You're thankful for how God made you. I am thankful that God gave me a six-pack. It is just well insulated and very well covered. And yeah. It's tricky, I know. Like, oh man, I see the movie. I'm like, dang, look at Thor's body. Oh, look at his, arms. Oh, it's like, man, if I did that, my wife would just like be on my arms all the time. So he didn't give that to me because, you know, balance. You know, Thor can't be me. I can't be Thor. Yeah, that's how I look at it. Thor can't be me. I can't be Thor. I am unique. I am beautiful in my own right. Thor is unique and beautiful in his own right. Yeah. Right. I am beautiful in my own right, and so is Thor. Okay. Whew, I have to tell myself a lot because you know, maybe I have a poster of him in my gym studio where I just look at his body and then when that's when I lift and I'm like, one day. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But everyone is unique and beautiful in their own right. And it is important to love who God made me to be. Psalm 139:13-15. And it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I praise you. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." I love this verse. God made each and every one of us special. He formed us in our mother's rooms. He knit us together. I'm gonna give Josh a very sharp jawline, and oops, I curved too much on his stomach, but that's okay. But God made us each individual, and he knit us from. I didn't say which way it curved, all right? I don't know why y'all think. But God made us special, and he made us in a very unique way. And sometimes, what the enemy of this is, we begin to compare. Right? We look at like, oh, look at someone else. How come he has guns of steel? How come she's got like those really long, skinny legs? And I got these short, stubby legs. But we begin to compare, and then we begin to think less of ourselves, which leads to us not loving who God made us to be. Because when we continually compare, when we continually wish for what that person has, that destroys the love that God intended for us to loving ourselves. Why is it hard to love ourselves? Why is it hard to love me for me? Why? I've kind of tried to detail some points as to what I believe is oh, Pastor already clicked it, great. But what I believe is things that sometimes cause us, that makes it hard to love us for who we are, who God intended us to be, who God made special in everything. Self-hatred, I think that this is when you hate the person who's God made you. You can consider yourself dumb, ugly, clumsy. You look in the mirror or in those quiet moments and you feel like, I'm just not smart enough. I'm just not as pretty as Joanne or George. I just fell short. There's unforgiveness or bitterness. When a person continues to hold things against themselves, such as something in their past, maybe that was embarrassing or gross or that you're still ashamed of, even after repentance, we continually sometimes fall into the same sins. Maybe that's being angry for you. Maybe that's lust. Maybe that's pornography. Maybe that's drugs. Maybe that's alcohol. When we fall short, we then begin to have this inner bitterness, this inner hatred and unforgiveness in our hearts for ourselves. Because like you want to please God, you want to follow his commandments, you want to be good, but you fall short. I fall short. I have those moments. I have those moments where I feel like, oh, dang, I messed up again. I fell short. Why can't I not sin even after agreeing to God? Like, God, you are so good. God, you change me. I make this my prayer. I make this my cry. But sometimes it's still a work in process. You're not fully there yet. God's still working in you, but you don't feel like it. And you begin to grow this bitterness inside of yourself that, oh, I just messed up again. Being hard on oneself, always beating up yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, you begin to see yourself as worthless, or you push yourself to reaching irrational goals, or you push yourself to fulfilling irrational goals just to feel good about yourself. Is that some people? Perfectionists. My wife is a perfectionist. I am not. I'm the furthest thing from a perfectionist. But she's a perfectionist. And she's the type like, I got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, before tomorrow. And I'm just like, you go, girl. But these things that we do, right? Do we set this standard too high for ourselves that it's even to the point where it's irrational? And then when you fall short, you begin to... Man, I'm not good enough. They'd be like, T.D. Jakes would be like, am I preaching to somebody today? And the church would be like, yeah. So I tried that, but not quite the same feeling. But thank you, Ray. But are we doing this? Do we set ourselves up to this too high a standard where we can't even hit it, where it's not even realistic? And then as a result of that, you begin to like be in the wallows. You're like, oh, and then it stresses you out, and you're like, oh, if only I could just keep going and finish it. And then that leads to low self-esteem. Always seeing yourself as a failure or less than those around you. Because of that, again, less than those around you. It's a constant thing, and it's especially hard here in the Bay Area. Right, all you Berkeley kids, all you overachievers, right? It's all about, did I beat Bobby's score of 97.2 with my 97.5? Right, you begin this comparison thing, And then you feel in the pits and the willows because, dang, my 98 was not 100. Right? You begin to see these things, and it leads to your low self-esteem, and then you don't love who God has made you to be. Because you think that I have to be this in order to love who God made me to be. Am I catching you? You think you have to be like this in order to love who God made you to be. No, 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 no. God made you you. God made you special. God made you unique and beautiful. Each and every person has their own unique gifts, their own unique personalities. Just because your personality isn't outgoing as pastor, well, I'm an introvert. If your personality isn't outgoing as pastor, doesn't mean that you're not as worthy to be loved. You're not as worthy as the person next to you. Everyone has a special and unique thing that God created specifically for you in your own time to be developed and worked on that you should love. Woo. 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 That was, woo. Whew, that was good. That was good for me. That word was for me. I'm not going to lie. That word was for me. Are you ashamed of yourself? Shame. Shame can be a tricky thing. Refusing to forgive yourself from something in the past. Is it a past relationship that holds you? Is it maybe an old boyfriend, an old girlfriend who said that you weren't enough and broke up with you or treated you poorly? Sometimes we allow people to hold who we are in their hands, and then when they say that you aren't enough, that just crushes you inside. Isn't that right? We look for this approval, this acceptance in people, and you place it in their hands, and when they say that you're not enough, when you're not good enough, that stings you, that forms you, that holds on to your being. When we place those things in people, when we place those things in God, He is saying, you are more than enough. You are perfect. There is no one better but you. And you can only be you. I'm not trying to be depressing. I'm not trying to look at why we hate ourselves. But I really wanted to identify what are some things that I feel, that I see are things that causes us not to love who God has made us to be. And now we're going to look, we're going to smile again. We're going to look at how can I love myself? Why we should love ourselves? Why? I mean, you told me all these negative things of I'm not good enough, but why now? Why should we love ourselves? I got to ask you, did God create your physical body? Yes, He created all this goodness. Now, would you dare to say that God made an ugly body? No, right? No. No, it doesn't matter what shape, form, God does not make it. Did God create your mind and your intellect? Yes, right? God created and formed the cells in your brains. He gave you your personality, He gave you your intellect. And you're not going to say that God created someone dumb or worthless or not worthy. No, right? God created that. If God created you in His image, right? God created you in His image. Now, would you say that God is dumb, stupid, ugly? No, right? You're not going to say those things. And God created each and every one of us in His own image. It's so easy sometimes to forget that we are created from God, that we represent who God is. Of course, we sin, we fall short, and God doesn't do that. But our image, our sin does not define who we are. Our sin does not define who we are. We are created in God's image, and God is perfect. Sin is not perfect. Sin is not perfect. Don't get me wrong. But our image of who we are, and we are not our sins. Our sins do not define us. Our sins do not define us. If we look at the example from earlier in Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. This is our brother David. Our homie David, the guy who did Goliath, who got a little slingshot. This is that David. And David was a humble man, right? We talked about what does it mean to have self-love? And it's humility and thankfulness. David was a humble man with a heart after God's own. Yet he praised and thanked God for the marvelous work that God had made, referring to his physical body. To put it in perspective, if you guys remember, David was overlooked, right? He didn't look like a king. Like they looked at his brother. Yes. They overlooked at his brothers. And I wouldn't say he was like this, you know, jacked big guy. No. He's a small dude, probably smaller than me, like all you are. But like he's a small dude, and he wasn't big. He wasn't tall by any means. But yet he still says, I thank you, God, because I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he was not boasting in who he was, but he's being thankful and rejoicing over the beautiful creation that God made in him. King David appreciated and thanked God for what God gave him. Sometimes it's easiest to say, when you look in the mirror, right? We talked about this. So you looked in the mirror, you know, and you look, oh, my body is not how I want my body. I don't have the 6'5" frame, the broad shoulder, kind of broad, but you don't got like the super broad shoulders, the very long legs, and it's easy to look and compare like, oh, I wish it's like that, you know. But I'm gonna tell you right now, you gotta work with what God gave you, right? You gotta work with what God gave you. God gave me this body. Hey, I got a wife. I got married. It's possible, guys. You know, I work with what God gave me. He gave you something to use. You better use that gift and use that well. You know, work on the strengths you got, you know. But work with what God gave you, because he made everyone perfect in their own way, and you each have your own special and unique gift. Mine is just don't step on the scale and don't look at it. The less you know, the better. I'm just kidding. But everyone has their own gift, and everyone's in their own uniqueness. I'm not saying, you guys, you know, we got to take care of our bodies. You know, I'm trying to cut weight a little bit. The fasting did help, but, you know, you got to stick up. But so, you know, do take care of your body, but, you know, don't feel down, but love what you are and what God has made you to be. It's important. You are unique. You have your own special gift. Song of Songs. If you don't know the book of Song of Songs, read it. It's good. Full of love and just juicy words. It says, you are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. I'm trying to make eye contact with all of you. There is no flaw in you. The next thing, right, we talked about sometimes our image and not loving ourselves and how sometimes we're too hard on ourselves, and sometimes we just don't like the sin we continually fall into. We don't like how we can't hit these goals that we set in our own minds for ourselves. What is the next thing that we can do to appease this? It is to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. I think sometimes it's easy. We're always told we have to forgive others, right? That's common. Billy betrayed me. He messed it up, but I gotta forgive him, because that's what the Bible tells me, right? We put a high importance on forgiving others, but sometimes we forget to forgive ourselves. Do you ever notice that? Sometimes we hold ourselves to too high this standard, this unrealistic thing, and not knowing that we are human, we will fail, and we don't forgive ourselves. Forgiving ourselves is just as important as forgiving others. Unforgiveness brings much bondage into our life, regardless if it's towards God, others, yourself. Bitterness is a means by which we are defiled, regardless of what we've done in our past, regardless of whatever sin you've done, whatever place you fell short, your anger, your drugs, your porn, your lust, your cheating, whatever that happened in the past, God has forgiven you, and you have to forgive yourself. You've got to let that go. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and what? And purify. Will purify us from all unrighteousness. Whew. Yes. Isaiah 43:25 says, Even I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God's word is what says that he will remove our sins and forget it. So why do we continue to beat ourselves up over what happened before? If we've repented and God has forgiven us, We've got to forgive ourselves. If we continually associate ourselves with our sinful past, then that begins to change the way we see it. We begin to see someone who's not worthy to be loved and someone that you can't love yourself. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." When we continually associate ourselves with our past failures, after God's word has assured us that they have been removed from us, then that means that you really don't believe what God's word is saying. Because he says that you are forgiven, your transgressions are no more, there's no need to remember where you fell short, that you are free, you are purified. Now, today we're talking about loving ourselves, right? And sometimes we don't take the time to do that, but it's important. It's important to understand who we are in Christ and why we need to love ourselves. If we can't fully love ourselves, how can we begin to look and talking about loving someone else, loving your neighbor, loving your church, loving your community? If we don't know how to love ourselves, we can't give what we don't have. We can't give that love to someone else if we can't even accept and love who God has made us to be. Everyone has a unique gift. I'm not going to lie. I wish I had a better voice. Like, if you've ever heard me worship lead, man, I know you wish for my wife to sing. But I've got to learn to love and appreciate, and I'm still working through this, I've got to learn to love and appreciate who God has made me to be and the gifts that I have, and not compare it to someone else, because we each have our own special gift. We're each unique in our own way, and God uses that to bless his kingdom. You remember what I said earlier? I forget, so I have to look it up. It says, it is being grateful for how God made you as a unique, beautiful person that he is using to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. He is using each and every one of our special gifts. Believe it or not, don't look at me like, oh, I don't have any special gift. I'm not, you do. Let's help work through and figure out what that is if you don't know what that is. This is a place where we can grow. We can come to know each other. We can grow in loving ourselves and then loving the other side. I'm going to use this as the other people. We're ourselves here. This is who we're learning to love, this side over here. God made you unique. Don't forget, self-love. Self-love is based in thankfulness, humility, being appreciative of who God made you to be. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, afternoon? Father, I know it's hard sometimes for us. We get caught up in comparing ourselves and looking around and seeing how we fall short. Oh, I'm not as good as that person at work because they finished their work so quickly and I'm here struggling. I'm here not able to do this, what I think is a simple task. Why does he have such better grades than me? I put in more work. I study harder. I put in way more effort. Why is it so easy for them to share and them to do all these great things? Why did I mess up again? Why did I fall short? Why did I get angry so quickly again? God loves us. God has made each of us special in our own way. We are on our own journeys. Don't look and compare to other people's timelines or their progressions. They are they. You are you. I am me, you are you. God loves each and every one of us. God has made each and every one of us unique. He has made us in his image. You are an image of God. God, you know, the perfect being. You are an image of God. Don't let the devil speak lies to you and say that you are not worthy to be loved. Don't let the devil speak lies to you and say that you just failed again. God calls that he's forgiven you. Now you've got to forgive yourself as well. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you created us in your image. We thank you that you forgive us and accept us for who we are, that you knit us from the very core of our mother's womb, from the very fibers. You know who we are. You formed us. You planned every single detail of our life. We come to you today. Won't you speak to our hearts? Work in us for those who are still struggling to love themselves as you love us, as we love them, accepting them for who they are, for who you created them to be. Father, we thank you. We speak your word and your blessing.